Chapter 35. November 11th of year 18. Adam is sitting at the control console. During training in the past few days, he has demonstrated that he is much better than Eve at controlling Messenger in an emergency. I still hope he does not have to intervene in such a situation, because that would mean the software has failed. He is nervously rubbing the thin beard that started to grow shortly after his 16th birthday. We have already reached the outskirts of the asteroid belt. The distances between obstacles are still large enough to evade them in time. I set the sensor input so I experience the surrounding space as seen directly from the tip of Messenger. I not only look into space, but see the velocity vectors of all asteroids, down to the ones a few millimeters in size. Today it is likely the onboard quantum computer will have to go the limit for the first time, as it can simultaneously solve all non-relativistic motion equations for potential obstacles. That means we will know the probability of each object hitting us. This is almost independent of the number of obstacles. We will not run the risk of losing track of things, even in the middle of the asteroid belt. I have the slight hope that the predictions we develop based on the data sent by the ISUs will not be completely accurate. There is still a probability range. The maximum density could be so high that we barely make it, or even higher, and we would definitely die. We will know in a few hours which one of these scenarios actually comes true. The automatic system uses a buzzing sound to report dangerous encounters. I am not absolutely sure of the reason for this, but the frequent sounds give a good indication of how hazardous the situation is. This morning, there was only one warning per hour, but we are now receiving one every 5 minutes. Just for training purposes, Adam is starting to enter control impulses into the console in parallel to the automatic system. The impulses are not executed, but he receives virtual feedback on what would have happened if Messenger had followed his command. He does not look dissatisfied. Half an hour later, Adam sits in his pilot seat, looking tense and frantically pushing various buttons. It almost looks as if he were playing whack-a-mole, quickly trying to hit the heads of moles randomly popping up from their holes. Now the buzzing sound can be heard about every 20 seconds. The automatic system is still keeping up. I can see in my internal view how it gets us out of range again and again. It seems as if all nearby asteroids are trying to hit us, but that is an optical illusion. When I was still human, I visited America. I remember driving through the Midwest during a heavy snowfall. It felt just like this, only the snowflakes were not able to destroy my vehicle. The asteroids are moving in a prograde standard orbit, which means that they all come from our left as we move toward the center of the system. Unfortunately, they do not seem to think much of traffic rules. A loud whistling indicates the first impact, but not much happens. The image of space in front of my eyes shakes briefly, while the software adapts to the sudden momentum change of Messenger. The fabricators immediately begin to repair the damage. I doubt they will be able to finish their work before the next one hits. They cannot work miracles. According to the sensors, we have only traversed 5% of the asteroid belt. I try to aim my view more forward. The automatic system should be able to handle the closest asteroids. But what about the wave beyond them? It is too bad we have no weapons on board to clear our way, but we simply do not have enough energy. I feel the next impact, and it causes me physical pain. The automatic system uses the sensation to indicate the level of danger. In other words, the more a hit threatens our stability, the more painful it feels to me. The sensation of pain even enters my consciousness when I am intensively focusing on something else, like at this very moment, because I realize that the vectors of the asteroids racing toward us almost condense into a curtain about 30 minutes ahead. The automatic system has no time to focus on this, as it is busy with objects approaching right now. I do a rough calculation. The quantum computer has enough reserves to handle this, but it looks as if it were impossible to plot a course free of obstacles for us. In any case, we will collide. End simulation. Abort approach course. I hear Adam's voice say even before I can give the order to retreat. The boy has taken over command. He always had the opportunity to do so, but until now he never used it. "It is useless, Marchenko," he says. He knows I am paying full attention to him. "We won't make it that way." "The last flare moved through here 3 days ago," I remind him. "We don't have enough time for a detour." "I know, Marchenko, but there must be a solution, and I have an idea. But just now, during the simulation, I wanted to give up in a particular situation, and I let go of the controls. The asteroid, a big one with a diameter of 2 meters, would have hit us with a glancing blow. However, the software reported a success. At the last moment, this obstacle was hit by a larger asteroid and was deflected. I did not have that one on my screen, since it wasn't on a collision course with us."
"We won't be that lucky every time," I say.
"Not if we just wait for it, but maybe we can cause the situation to happen. There's always a larger fish, you know."
The boy is right. We are going to need a kind of shield, a really heavy asteroid that protects us against the others, one that puts its head on the line for us. I am scanning the entire area. "There is a boulder measuring about 200 meters across that will reach our current position in about 2 days, I report.
Adam asks, "Can we capture it somehow?"
"It is approaching at enormous speed, so capturing it would be impossible, but we could move into its slipstream, so to speak, and slow it down a bit. Then it will automatically move into an orbit closer to Proxima B."
"And it will take us with it?"
"Yes, it might work, Adam." I quickly run some calculations, and then say, "There is only one problem. Crossing the asteroid belt that way would take almost 3 weeks."
"Then we would have 14 days left until the next flare," Adam says slowly.
"That's 14 days in which we have to reach Proxima B, land there, and find a safe shelter."
"Sounds like a challenge. But do we have a choice?"
"No," I reluctantly confirm.